Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and with me as always is Merrick Larwood.
Hello, listeners. Whoever you are, and wherever you are.
And wherever you may be.
No one knows the answer to that one. That's why they listen to this to find answers.
Maybe we'll get incrementally closer.
Let me assure you, there are no answers to find on this podcast. Or, in fact, anything remotely resembling logic.
Submit to nothingness. And movies.
God, my hands absolutely stink of the cinema this week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been right up to your elbows in it?
I've been in the cinema, yeah. I've been sitting there watching things in the cinema. Again, excuse me, I witnessed some more bad behaviour from old people.
Oh, Christ. What
talking,
are they doing now?
Whispering. The whispering thing. I'm not going to moan about it, but you know, the whisper that carries over. How is it that whispers are so louder than talking in the film? Is it the pitch?
High frequency? I don't know, it's like this, isn't it?
It's worse than talking.
Yes! You extend the syllables, I suppose, so it would last longer. Rather than going, he's going to go through the door. You go, he's going to go through the door.
It's the S's you hear.
Yeah.
It's whispering, you're sending S's to things.
And popping.
Well, I went to the cinema.
Yeah.
I went
with
to
your irritating old people.
I won't moan about that. I'll moan about something else later on. I went to the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Wes Anderson movie.
Yes.
Ralph Fiennes and bloody everyone. It seemed enormous cast. Poster.
Well, he's sort of part of his, one of his many motifs, if you will, is having the same cast he's quite loyal to. So there's all cameos from Adrian Brody.
He's in a lot of them.
Edward Norton.
Cate Blanchett.
Bill Murray. Jason Schwartzman.
Oh, yeah.
These are all people that you see in his films. Also, there was Lea Seydoux, Tilda Swinton, Tom Wilkinson, Owen Wilson, he's another one of his favourites, is in it.
Well, he co-wrote Royal Tenenbaums, I think, if not some of the others. So, yeah.
Excuse me.
Are you a fan of Wes Anderson films?
I liked Rushmore.
Yep.
I didn't really like the Royal Tenenbaums, but I didn't. What was the one? I haven't seen Life Aquatic. I liked the Cub Scout one, the one he did recently.
Didn't see favorite. That one.
What was it called?
I have enjoyed. I don't remember.
Wes Anderson's Cub Scout film.
Yeah.
It was called Moonrise Kingdom.
That's the one.
I thought Fantastic Mr. Fox was a really inventive adaptation of it.
So, what is Grand Budapest Hotel about?
Well, it's about a hotel. And it's over the course, it's about the is it the concierge or the head sort of the hotel, basically, yeah, who's played by Ralph Fiennes, and his relationship with his assistant, who's the sort of bellboy person who's just arrived, and they get into a bit of trouble, and it's sort of an adventure set in a hotel, which is quite quirky and cartoony.
Like The Shining?
It's not like The Shining, but it's very symmetrical. Like, I'd say it's the most symmetrically shot hotel film since The Shining.
How do you mean symmetrically
well,
shot?
Well,
he shoots things straight on a lot, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, so he does a very similar thing to Kubrick.
Kubrick.
where he frames all the, maybe it's probably quite derivative of Kubrick, he frames all the shots so everyone's in the dead centre of each shot.
Yeah.
And they're always in the centre, or something else is in the centre.
Or he does a sort of profile shot, almost like an old platform computer game, where people walk directly left to right, rather than in 3D. It's so sort of 2D almost.
Yeah, it's very cartoony. So the camera, everything's set like a picture, everything's framed perfectly, even the art, everything's in a sort of equilibrium between both sides of the picture. So it's very much like Kubrick. And the way the camera moves is very distinct. So he'll follow the... It's almost like on a dolly, the tracking shots, but slightly faster than the camera movement, so it will feel quite comical.
Okay.
So you know the way the camera, the characters move, it feels... Because the camera's moving so fast, and it's so direct in the way it flows, it moves. I was trying to work out how he used the camera techniques.
Okay.
I think he uses quite old techniques when he's making it. It has a very distinct speed and pace to it, which feels slightly accentuated from normal life, so it's like comic book style.
And the colours are all accentuated, aren't they?
His palette is not... It's like the 19... It's sort of like a lounge palette, really, isn't it?
Yeah, those pastely...
Pastels, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Might as well call him Pastel Anderson. Or Wes Pastel.
Wes Pastel.
Which would you prefer?
I think Wes Pastel, if I was going to pick one for myself.
I prefer Pastel Anderson.
Pastel Anderson. Difference between me and you.
But I'd call myself just initial Panderson.
Isn't that Pamela Anderson's nickname?
Yeah, probably is, actually.
Panderson.
So you get confused. And a lot of time I went to a wedding and Panderson would sit down and he would think, I don't know any of these people. These are all people from Baywatch and Motley Crue. Whereas Pamela Anderson's sitting in his seat with all the whimsical directors.
Yeah.
That would be quite it. And now here's his next film.
Just Pam a simple mistaken identity film.
That's probably happened to a few people at weddings. Well, you've got a really normal name.
Yeah.
And you're going to a wedding by yourself.
Well, especially if the invitation has been sent to Panderson, London.
Well, say your name's Paul Jones or something like that, and you go to my best friend from school is called Mark Allen.
Quite a common name.
I've met three or four Mark Allens. There must have been a wedding where Mark Allens have gone to the cinema by themselves.
Yeah.
And they, and they're not in the cinema, a wedding. Same thing.
Yeah. It's a show, isn't it?
And they've gone and sat in the wrong Mark Allen seat. And maybe it starts sliding doors, but swapping names. You heard it here first.
So, getting back to Grand Budapest Hotel.
No.
Okay, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plot-wise...
Is it sort of... My guess from the trailer, it didn't sort of appeal to me this. I enjoy Wes Anderson films, but sort of I enjoy them enough for television, to be honest. It felt a bit like an odyssey, like the cast would suggest it was. Lots of hotel rooms with lots of mini adventures behind them.
Not really. It's one main sort of story, and it's about the war and about the hotel. It's set in the past and sort of characters reflecting on the past and what happened to them. And it's a journey of this bellboy and how he looks up to this concierge and how that was a formative thing in his life. And they go on a sort of odyssey-like sort of a caper. It's almost like a caper.
Right.
Which is tonally has that Wes Anderson sort of maybe up a notch from more slightly stupid caper. Ralph Fiennes is brilliant playing this comical sort of almost... shades of Inspector Clouseau without the physical, you know.
Is he good at the comedy?
Yes, he's brilliant. I think Ralph Fiennes is brilliant in this film, and he's...
I've found him funny before. He's one of those who, my God, he can do serious well to the point where you'd expect him to be a deeply, deeply serious man.
Yeah.
But then his turning in Bruges is funny as well. He's got a lot of range, man.
He's had some strange days, his career, and he's done lots of Shakespeare business.
Yes, Shakespeare for business.
In The Duchess, I think he plays a really sultry, brooding man.
Isn't he quite a... I haven't seen the film, but I know he's sort... Isn't he sort of...
He's not very nice.
Yeah, he's not very nice. He's sort of a possessive... perverted secret man.
Yeah, but I mean, real life.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't going to say, but yeah.
And this is quite a joyous film. It looks beautiful, but always the Wes Anderson or Wanderson films, I feel a bit left wanting a bit when coming out of the cinema. It's like eating a really delicious chocolate. You know, you get a box of amazing chocolates, which there are in this film.
Right.
Trying one, you think it's going to be really delicious because it looks so nice. Does it really taste as nice as it looks?
Style over substances.
Well, I could have said that, but I tried to do it in a different...
I like your chocolate thing. That was much better.
Yeah.
Because I really like Rushmore. I think it's excellent. You can see why it sort of launched his career, and certainly Jason Schwartzman's as well.
Mm.
Although he was already a Coppola, so it doesn't really matter.
Who is he? Who
is he? Is Talia Shire's son, as in Adrian from Rocky, and Michael Corleone's sister in The Godfather.
Yeah.
So he's in with I'm sure him and Nicolas Cage and Talia Shire have a Christmas dinner together. I'm sure that's the case.
I saw, going off on another subject, Nicolas Cage's entrance to Wogan was shown in the programme.
What?
Nicolas Cage was on Wogan, which is Terry Wogan's a famous, for people who don't know, people who are under 10 years old. Yeah, everyone knows who Terry Wogan is, Irish television host in Britain who ran a chat show for about 10 years. Nicolas Cage's entrance is amazing. He comes on, he does a somersault in the air, and he starts chucking money at the crowd. Crazy.
He is amazing.
He's not that crazy now, is he? I've seen quite...
Oh, he's just a bit sad now, I think. He's calmed down a bit.
Did you call him Nicolas Caged?
Yeah, Nicolas Caged.
Yeah.
There's an image for you.
Yeah. That would be a good film. If anyone still listens to this bloody podcast.
Rushmore, I like... And I did like Royal Tenenbaums. I thought... Gene Hackman was excellent in it. I thought he was a really good character. But I hadn't seen Rushmore or any of his other films when I saw it, so it was really quite different.
Mm.
And then Life Aquatic, I enjoyed. I thought hung together slightly less well, but it's just sort of a hypnotic Bill Murray vehicle, really, where you just are so drawn into him, it doesn't matter how strange everything else is. I thought Willem Dafoe was brilliant in that
one.
Yeah,
he's in this as well, yeah.
Is he?
Mm.
He's so good, Willem Dafoe.
This looks beautiful. The amount of money and the preparation the art department must have on his film is huge. Because this hotel, I mean, it starts off in the... I'm not giving away too many spoilers, I don't think I am. It starts off in the 1970s, you say, and it goes back to the hotel during the war. So they've completely gutted it's a 70s style hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes back to being this pink thing you see in all the trailers.
Yeah.
When they tell the previous story. But everything looks beautiful. The detail is incredible. I mean, the art department should win awards for this. And there's always detail in every... something to find in every frame. So I think if you are a set designer, or you're sort of... the stylistically is beautiful. It must be fun. I reckon it's fun for the actors to do. They always look like they're... you come in, do 2 days.
Well, they get to grow or have facial hair stuck on them, a lot of them, don't they?
Mm.
And that must... I think that's whether a job's fun or not. Whether you get to try some facial hair.
I've had that. It's horrible.
Do you not like it?
I remember being a Viking once for a whole day with a helmet on, sitting on straw... with an itchy moustache and beard is horrible.
Oh, I quite like it. I was a caveman once with...
you were.
Full beard. No, we weren't literally.
Okay.
Full beard and big old hair, and then just wearing furs just in my pants in a forest. It was quite cold, but it was quite... I like the Viking look.
But my problem is, whenever you get makeup stuff on and they glue it to your face...
Yeah.
You get this, and they never take it off properly because you're filming stuff. It's only about kids' TV and stuff, comedy stuff I've done. They never take it off because they're always overrunning because they're under budget. So it gets to like 7 o'clock at night, and you're there to take with this sort of alcohol solution to try and get the glue off your face. There's always sticky bits for days, clumps of hair, and you finally go to sleep at night, your head's stuck to the pillow.
You've got a gummy face.
Yeah.
Gummy face. Don't sort of pour dust on your face when it's like that, because then you'll get a dust beard.
Never come off.
Yeah.
It's horrible stuff.
Yeah. Well, maybe they don't like it. Certainly, I know John Rhys-Davies in Lord of the Rings hated the whole experience because he'd have to be in makeup for 4 or 6 hours or whatever. Doesn't bear thinking about.
There's only so many hours during the day.
That's right, there are. There's, what is it? It's
24.
It's 24, isn't it?
Yeah. So the Grand Budapest Hotel, fans of Wes Anderson would like this. I think it's been very well received. I
on prefer a, Moonrise on a scale Kingdom. Of 1 to 10, how Wes Anderson is it?
It is, looks-wise, very high Wes Anderson and style. Maybe it's supposed to be more... I think it's funny in place. It's funnier. It's more directly funny in places okay. than whims. Than
whimsically
some,
funny, yeah. yeah. How many Marricks?
7.
Okay.
Okay, reasonable.
Good, in fact, I'd say.
Oh, okay. What sort of things do you like reading?
I love to read just any sort of emails or correspondence from our listeners are my favourite things to read.
Oh, okay. So, how about you read this? It's all the way for, well, it says it's requested to be done in a South African accent.
Is it? Oh.
Right.
Who's this from? Kieran Hall, a very South African name.
Yes.
Right. Hi, guys and Doug. As much as you were joking about a film set in Ryan Reynolds' colon, there is almost such a film. Osmosis Jones is a part live-action, part animated film set in Bill Murray's insides. A sentence I never thought I'd write. This wasn't done for budget reasons. As I would imagine, it cost a fair bit in animators. But in hitting it at the 90-minute mark that you mentioned. Sorry, the punctuation is really poor, so it's hard to work out.
Is that you or him?
It's probably a bit 50-50. Let's share the blame on this, Kieran.
Is he still on the letter?
No problem. Yeah, he's literally responding to what you just said
so
in
hang
the letter.
On a minute. Who are you now?
I am still Kieran, and what you're saying is in the letter as well.
Hang on a minute. What?
Yes. He goes on to say... Good little film if you get the chance to watch it, and is amazing for the fact it's basically a kids' film directed by the Farrelly brothers. South African accent, please, and make sure you say diplomatic community loads, please.
This is a reference to our bottle episode we were talking about the other week, and so Osmosis Jones, I haven't seen it, is one for you to check out if you want to watch bottle episodes, which are episodes that are set in... Small room or something.
A single location, by and large. Set inside Bill Murray's body. Like Inner Space. Have you seen Inner Space?
Yeah, I've seen Inner Space, but it's not really, though, is it?
It's set inside Martin Short's body. And, you know, the rest of the film that isn't... I loved Inner Space when I was a kid.
It was on, because it was on every other blooming day, wasn't
it? Was, wasn't it?
And someone emailed another bottle episode we didn't talk about... Someone wrote on our Facebook page, I think it was Canon Grawl, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Oh, Canon Grawl!
Yes. To say that we missed The Disappearance of Alice Creed. It was set in one room.
Yes, not seen it. I've heard some good things. I know nothing about the specifics of it other than Gemma Arterton is kidnapped by some guys, and I think one of them is the guy from Line of Duty, so that's good.
He also mentions the Paranormal Activity, which is set in sort of one house.
It's
really,
not
isn't
for
it?
Me. I'm just a bit bored.
The first one is quite scary, actually. Is yeah, because it was set in this very house.
No.
Yeah.
Was it this one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, I wondered what all those CCTV cameras were for.
And it was about a guy living here with his girlfriend. Like you, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some bad stuff happens.
What happened to him?
Just paranormal things.
Like his duvet moved and shit.
Yeah, people are getting dragged off. I shouldn't say because I'm worried about sport. Watch it if you want. It's on Netflix or any of that.
Is it? No, genuinely, is Paranormal Activity worth watching?
I think it's just the same as all those other film. It's one of the best ones.
As Daniel Ward would say, is it just a load of crit cracking or is it actually scary?
I can't remember anymore. I've tried to block everything out.
Everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, though.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got another letter here from Pablo. It's Paul Thompson, but he's signed himself as Pablo. He lives in the northeast but spent his formative years in Derbyshire. So his accent's a mangled combo of Yorkshire and Geordie. Okay, then.
Yeah, I'm loving there.
Here we go. This is from Paul Thompson.
Greetings and salutations, David, Marek and Doug. After listening to one of your more recent podcasts, the Children of Men Appreciation Society episode, I was pleased to hear that Dave is a fan of Peter Mullin and his body of work. As a fellow Mullinite, I wondered if you, either of you had seen Session 9, a little-known horror film which came out in 2001, with Peter Mullin in the main role, supported by David Caruso and directed by Brad Anderson. The film seemed to split opinions with those who I know have seen it. Some love it and rate it very highly. While always seem impressed, I would like to hear your review of this as Liverpool.
You're going to Liverpool.
On film, as I fall within the former, I would like to get an opinion from some real film fans like your good souls.
Well,
first of all,
the accent was excellent.
I did too much Yorkshire, really, didn't I?
I truly felt I was going back and forth on the East Coast line between Newcastle and York.
Well, that's Paul Thompson.
It cost a fortune. I think you spent probably £800.
Well, you should have got one of those network cards.
Yeah, that's true. Next time.
Have you seen Session 9?
I have not seen Session 9.
Pointless reading
it
out then.
No, we share it so that our listeners can check it out if it sounds interesting. But there's a lot of films out there, Marek. I can't watch them all.
Yeah, you can always try, though.
I'm going to try, yeah. I keep rewatching the same ones again. I saw Dick Tracy again the other day. Don't know why I rewatched that.
Did you?
Yeah.
With Warren Beatty?
Yeah, he directed it as well.
And Madonna?
And Madonna's in it, yeah. It's probably the least bad thing Madonna's done.
Okay, well, thank you for your letters. Right, say I want to be like one of these people.
Yeah.
By that I mean I want to write in.
Right, okay. Well, if you'd like to write to us and have your email read out online and then...
Online?
Online, on the show, and then flatly ignored occasionally. It's like, no, we haven't seen that film. But no, I mean, we truly appreciate your communications. If you'd like to do so, then please email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or alternatively, you can go to Facebook and just write on there, /filmfandango, or tweet us, @filmfandango.
And a tweet from Jake Musson, who said, @Bumbles_Jake, who said he's going to be rocking his @filmfandango t-shirt around Comic-Con today.
Hey.
So someone's bought a t-shirt.
There we go, from redbubble.com.
You can do that. So this is... podcast, we fund this through donations to help pay for the Libsyn. I think we've almost run out of money, haven't we?
Yeah, we pretty much have. So if you do listen to the show on a regular basis or at all and would like to, you know, try and help out so that it continues to exist, then you can go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And to everyone who's donated, thank you very much.
Also, you can follow us on our Twitter accounts. Mr. David Reed.
Correct.
And @Marek
Larwood.
Correct.
Yeah. We're on there, usually hanging out, you know.
I spend all my life online now.
Yeah, desperately trying to get the attention of Lily Allen. Talk to me!
Lily Allen, is that what people do?
That's just sort of a... That was just a vignette of Twitter, really, rather than what I do.
I get people who do this. @@followback. That's it. Follow back.
But they're in it for the numbers, aren't they? Not the interaction.
Yeah. Or I get people who say @Marek Larwood, you look like a sex offender in that so and so, or something like that. And what do they think
follow
I'm
back.
Gonna do? I'm gonna go, all right, thanks mate.
Do they want you to follow them back so they can send you a direct message of abuse?
Probably, yeah.
That's probably it, isn't it? Yes. Well, I saw a film this week.
Oh, right, don't show off. No one likes to show off. People like you make me sick.
Yeah, well... Things are going pretty well for me.
What
saw a film.
What was it called?
It was actually... It's not found a distributor yet. It was. I went to a screening of a film
that is called?
Looking for a distributor. It's called Convenience.
Are you sure this wasn't someone just filming you in the toilet?
Yeah, it
was. And the guy said, look, we haven't got a distributor yet.
But, I mean...
Just pull your pants and trousers
really,
down.
This really help.
We won't show your face.
No one wants to see that. No, it's a film Speaking of bottle episodes, it's a film set entirely in a petrol station, but it's starring Ray Panthaki and Vicky McClure, who's brilliant from Line of Duty, as I keep mentioning, and This Is England and bloody everything else at the moment, and Adil Akhtar from Four Lions and The Dictator and other things, who is very, very funny. But the premise is that two guys get in trouble with the Russian mob and so try and rob a petrol station to get the money together, but there's a time lock on the safe and it doesn't open till 6 a.m. so, and they've already tied up the shopkeepers, so they just run the all-night garage until 6 a.m. and that's the premise.
Hang on a minute, wasn't Tom, this is the film at Tom Bell who was our guest,
that's right, Tom Bell who was our guest a couple of weeks ago is in it, and so that's why I went to the screening.
You're rubbish.
Oh my god, Tom is, I don't think I could look him in the eye again.
Really, what are you going to
say? No, he's wonderful, he's really funny. It's a really funny film. Like, genuinely really funny. The central relationship between the three of them, between Adil Akhtar, Vicky McClure and Ray Panthaki, is just really good. Like, genuinely very funny. There's also little cameos from, as I say, Tom Bell turns up with Tony Way at one point as posh stoners, and there's a really, really odd cameo from Vern Troyer at one point.
The midget guy.
Yeah, as a cowboy. Well, sort of,
and where
Texan.
Is it? Where is this?
It's set in Britain.
Okay,
but it's it's really good fun, and it's just that thing of you can set a thing in one location, and as long as the characters and drama are working hard, it can work.
So, where, if I wanted to watch this convenience thing,
you can't yet, but just keep an eye out for it. Is basically it'll I'll mention it again on the podcast when it gets a proper. Like, but it's just interesting to see things at this stage, you know.
So where were you at a screening, did you
yeah,
say?
I was at a screening of it, yeah.
And was it just a cast and crew screening, or just friends of...
Cast and crew, basically. I mean, I'm in Ray... Ray produced it as well. I don't know if you know Ray Panthaki, but he was originally in EastEnders, is where he got famous from, and then he's made a load of films since then, sort of low-budget British stuff, but... Tom Bell and I are in his next film, Nothing Like This.
How does he get funding for it then? Is it private, or do you know anything?
I have not bothered prying, but yeah, I don't. I'm sure it.
Just make it up.
I mean, it's Nazi Gold.
Nazi Gold.
Heavily involved in.
Well,
Nazi Gold.
He's got a very German name, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, of the Dusseldorf Panthakis.
These Panthakis.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the amount of money they made Convenience for is incredible.
What was the budget?
$80,000.
Wow.
And it looks great. It looks really good.
What did they film it on?
I don't know.
I'm going to see if there's any
the camera types,
online.
The camera numbers and stuff is your field. I don't know about that.
What I want to know is what type of camera it is, and that's all. I don't even care about the film.
It was one of those, you know, those disposable Kodak ones.
Yeah,
they just took a photo every frame. And
stop motion.
Yeah, that's right. Used a load of those. Just 2 hours worth of those.
I can't see. Hopefully I can't see. I'm looking on the thing. I can't see where any information. All I know is that I've just looked on IMDb. Tom Bell's got his pictures uploaded on IMDb. No one does that. No British people do that. He must have done that himself.
Well, it's
uploaded his own pictures,
but that's fine. IMDb is not like Wikipedia. IMDb is a professional tool these days. It's like Spotlight for Americans.
I don't trust him.
My photos are on there.
What if I put David Reed? You can see what you look like on Spotlight.
Yeah.
Sorry, this probably isn't very. Are you the only David Reed?
No, I'm number 9.
Holy cow!
Yeah, common name in the States, especially my spelling.
If you had. Because Spotlight is the British people...
sort of actors' database is how all actors in Britain get their work.
And Tom Bell's a good person to speak about, because he couldn't have the name Tom Bell.
Is that right?
Until the Tom Bell died about 2 years ago. There was an actor called Tom Bell who died.
Under suspicious circumstances?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, always look at who has the most to gain from that death.
If you didn't have...
Use your words.
If... You could not use your name, David Reed.
Yeah, what name would I have?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought about it for a long time, because when I first signed up to Spotlight, I was going, there's no way I'm going to get David Reed. There's absolutely no way. It's too common a name. But all of the David Reeds in this industry aren't actors, as it turns out. So I got it, but I went round the houses on that. My middle name I would probably want to use.
What is that?
Marshall.
That's quite good.
Yeah, like, you know, Marshall Mathers.
But do you call yourself Marshall Reed?
No, I don't like that. That doesn't work for me, you see. Or maybe.
Marshall Reed sounds a bit like a sort of accountancy business or a lawyer's
firm.
It's a bit like the wedding thing we started off the podcast on. Wonder if you're going to go to a wedding and sit with another David Reed.
The wrong David Reed. Sit next to the other David Reed's wife at the dinner at the wedding.
End up
married.
Yeah.
That's how it works. I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
We've come full circle, haven't we?
What would you be called?
I would be called...
Yeah.
I've never really had that problem, because there's only one Marek Larwood.
That's certainly true.
And it's quite an unusual name.
Is it your real name, or did you make it up?
I found it.
You found it on a bus.
I found it. I looked at two of the most unusual names on a toilet wall.
Yeah.
And
combine them.
Yeah. Call Marek so and so for this business.
Are you sure it wasn't Mark Longwood?
Probably was, yeah.
Probably was.
The sort of name you would call would be interesting. Oh, I bet Longwood.
Yeah. Old Longwood.
Call Mark Longwood for
Longwood good time. Depressed you with the talk of the toilets. Anyway, yes.
That's it, isn't it?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I have to say, it was exciting being part of the movie industry before cinema distribution, just seeing that whole thing, you know? Mm. Just seeing how sort of real and made of people trying the whole thing is. It's very easy just to see the final packaged product and to sort of not really comprehend how all of this could ever come together, but it does, and it's...
It is very difficult, and everyone who makes a film should be admired and given some sort of prize.
Correct. Well, I think that's all for this week. We will be back next week with yet more films. So, in the meantime,
keep watching the films.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.